here on the New South Wales Country Hour. Well, temporary water restrictions have been introduced along the Barwon-Darling River and Northern Tributaries as a result of the Menindee Lakes dropping to 250 gigalitres. Now, the Department of Climate Change, Energy, Environment and Water, as we've heard on the program, say there's less than 12 months water supply in the lakes to meet those critical human and environmental needs downstream. Irrigators, though, they're angry, and they call these restrictions, this move, a death by a thousand cuts, and they say it will put food and fibre production in the Northern Basin at risk. But Marianne Slattery is director of the River Integrity Project and an independent water consultant, and says the devil is actually in the detail. She thinks the restrictions are ineffectual. It will not actually guarantee any river flow or any environmental imperatives, and the big cotton farmers will be able to pump as much water as they like out of anabranches and tributaries.
I mean, there's several issues with the order. It only impacts a really small subset of water licences. It restricts take on a very small subset of water licences in no way is stopping really any substantial take upstream. The licences that it's supposed to stop water from being taken are things like floodplain harvesting licences and supplementary flows. And you need a lot of water in the system for those licences to be able to take that water. Really importantly, it doesn't stop the major irrigators taking water out of the Barwon-Darling at all. So there's a particular quirk on some of the licences of the really large water holders in the Barwon-Darling, which allows them to take water at any time out of anabranches, for example, out of the river, don't have any pumping thresholds on them at all. And this doesn't stop that. It's really not stopping anything.
When it talks to attempting to solve connectivity issues, how does it fail on that front?
For example, so the order goes for supposed to stop water take from the 17th of April to the 30th of September. But if there's a moderate flow over a two-week period at any time over that period, it turns off the restriction for that whole period. So we could have flows coming past Bourke for 2 weeks, decent, not even high flows, just a moderate flow in the channel for 2 weeks in April, there would be no more restrictions until, the order finishes at the end of September. So I can't see how it's doing anything to improve connectivity beyond the press release. But the main problem is we've given the licences that the government has issued, and the conditions around those licences are egregious. They're way too high. We know that. There's been study after study after study that's demonstrated this. There's too much water that's been given away to irrigators. And I want to be really clear, we're talking about a tiny number of irrigators. You've got a really small number of people, like a handful of people, that have these massive licences with extremely generous licence conditions, and that's the problem. And what we're trying to do is shut the gate after the horse has bolted and do these tokenistic little fixes rather than fixing the original problem, which is too much water was given to irrigators and the licence conditions are just ridiculously generous. It's in really bad faith. When the floodplain harvesting licences were issued a couple of years ago, and it was there was enormous opposition from everyone in the basin other than the people that were getting these licences, because including irrigators from the south. People knew that they were extremely excessive, huge amount of inequity around this. It was going to cause enormous damage to the environment and downstream water holders.
Irrigators are angry. The CEO of the Irrigators Council, Madeleine Hartley, said that this order is covering up poor management of the lakes, her words. She said that food and fibre is at risk as a consequence of this call. And other calls like this that the minister might make without consultation of the council. How do you respond to comments like that in light of the fact that large-scale irrigators aren't affected by this order?
Look, it's a load of nonsense. And honestly, groups like New South Wales National Irrigators Council, Cotton Australia, they're only there to serve the really big guys. They're not looking after all irrigators. They don't do their industry. You know, if they just had some honesty and came to the table in good faith, you know, a lot more could be done. They come out with these ridiculous statements. But 80%, you know, food and fibre, 80% of the irrigation in the Northern Basin is used to grow cotton. It's an industry that there's no manufacturing in Australia. It's all exported. Very low labour costs, very low taxation. It's just a nonsense to claim that is going to be harming food and fibre. But we're not. There's very little irrigation over the next four or five months, unless they're putting it in storages, which is going to, a lot of that is subject to evaporation. It's an extremely poor use of water. Putting it in storages over the winter, that's a huge amount of evaporation. That's the very thing that the CEO of the Irrigators Council is criticising the government for, which is evaporation of Menindee Lakes. So if it sits in a private storage and evaporates, it's supposed to be okay. But if it's in a public storage and it evaporates, not. I mean, it's quite frustrating to have these sorts of bad faith arguments from leaders of industry.
There's one more remark that the CEO made that I'd like to put to you. She said she was calling on the government to explain where all the water has gone. Is it, this order was made because, you know, apparently we're drying up. We're going into a dry season. She said, well, I want the government to explain where the water has gone. What do you say to that?
Yeah, that would be great. I support that because in New South Wales, there is, despite the basin plan requiring all forms of water take to be accounted for, there is about a quarter of water that's taken for floodplain harvesting that is still completely without regulation. It's exempt from regulation, licensing, monitoring, measurement. So, yes, let's account for all the water. Totally agree. That includes the exempt rainfall runoff. It also includes the amount of water that evaporates out of private storages. That's a massive number. Massive. That is not properly accounted for. A lot of that occurs before the form of take, so it's not even paid for by the irrigators. So I'm absolutely on board with properly accounting for all of the water that's taken.
Independent water consultant Marianne Slattery talking there to Michaela Hambrett. It's coming up to 17 minutes to one.